What you see is our new website. That's what the, if you went up there and look, that lesson would be there. As you can see, you put a mouse over a reference and it pops open in a box for you. So I'm going to try to use that tonight to preach from, but particularly wanted to do it so you could see that it was there, and that it was available for you to use. It's very important, I think, for us to have a sound concept, a sound idea, a sound relationship with what Christianity is all about. You know, when we talk to our religious friends, a lot of it's social, a lot of it's fun and games, a lot of it's doing this and doing that, and things I get, I often hear that, I don't get anything out of. We need to realize that, as it says, we need to have a proper perspective of what it means to be a servant of God. Because that's what Christianity is all about. We ought to look at ourselves as the prodigal son did when he came home and ask his father, restore me back to being your son again. Move me back into my bedroom. Give me back the checkbook. He didn't say a word of that. He said, let me be a servant in your house. Let me be, arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Do we look at ourselves that way? I'm not worthy to be a son, to be a part of the ruling family. I'm a servant, and I need to have that concept. The song that we just sang, if you thought about the words while you were singing it, really preached my sermon tonight. It was a very powerful statement that I want to serve. I want to serve people. I want to serve the lost. I want to serve the faint-hearted. I want to serve folks that are in need. Life in Christ is a matter of walking with God. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee. That's a plea that we all ought to have. We need to understand that it's a matter of being what God wants us to be. The Bible uses that picture a lot in the Old Testament. I have two on the screen. Enoch was described in Genesis, the fifth chapter, and verse number 24, as he walked with God, and he was not because God took him. He was one that never died. Now, why did that happen? Well, if we'll go over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse number 5, we'll see that by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He pleased God. The fact that he walked with God, he spent his time with God, his thoughts were with God, his energy was spent in doing things with God. That's what we sang about in the basically the entire part of our song service, was the fact that we want to be with God. We want to walk with God. We want to spend our time with God. We want to think about that. Noah was described as a righteous man and one that was a just man and one that walked with God. And we know the situation there. He and his family were the only ones that were not destroyed in the whole world because he walked with God. So what we're talking about tonight is a very important topic, a very important subject, and one that really has a place in our society today. Because in society today, we're pretty much told we need to walk for ourselves. We need to look out for number one. Not looking out for what God wants us to do. But if we're his walking with God, there's only one way that's going to happen, and that is if we're his disciples. I can't walk up to Jesus and say, move over, fella. I want part of this sidewalk too. I can remember I would have been 20, 21? 21, I guess. I went to work for AT&T. It was 1964. I went to work went down to Alabama. 1964 was not a nice place in Alabama. I grew up in Ohio. Well, there's racial prejudice here. There's no question of that. But nothing like I saw down there. Those folks didn't hesitate for a minute to just walk right straight toward a black person and just bump them off the road, off the sidewalk into the road. They were supposed to step out of the way. That was just, I mean, I was, wow, I can't believe this. I've read about it, but to see it firsthand, to see restrooms marked white only, to see restaurants that the only ones allowed in there were whites. You see, they were looked upon as second-class citizens. They didn't have the right to be with the folks. Only way we have the right to be with Jesus is because we are his disciples. And we need to think about for a moment just exactly what that means. To be a servant of Jesus is to be a lifetime of service. Jesus said to himself, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be a servant." Not the most important one or the respected one. Let him be a servant. That's what we're looking at tonight and how we need to think about it. In Acts, the 20th chapter, coming into the New Testament, "I've shown you in every way by laboring like that, that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive." We're not Christians to get. It's to serve. And that's a totally different concept than most of our religious neighbors have. Most of those who call themselves Christians have a very, very different idea. We need to know that if we're going to be the person God wants us to be, we have to walk with him. We have to be with him. It ought to be more about an unselfish concern than a selfish concern. About our needs being met, we need to see that others' needs are met. And when we do, our needs will be met. When we get our head straight, and when we stop thinking about us. We're not talking about the things that have to do with just servitude. We need to look and understand that a disciple is a learner and a follower. One who's under the discipline of another. A disciple is somebody who says, "You're the master, I'm going to follow." You know I like sports. One of the worst things that can ruin a sports team is to want two leaders. Okay? Just give you a quick example. You may not even relate to it, but I'm going to do it anyway. The Miami Heat in the NBA. When LeBron James went down there, they had three guys that all wanted to be the best. And they didn't do anything. They stunk the first year he was down there. Last year, they won the championship because the other two guys said, "You know, he's really better than we are, and we need to step back and feed the ball to him and let him feed the ball to us and do it his way, or it's not going to work." I can't imagine the stress that coach was under trying to get those three egos to cooperate together on that team. But he did it. And now he's got a fourth. Ulster City. No question about it. Now, walking in the Master's way is not always easy. In John, the 6th chapter, in verse number 66, we read that when some folks didn't like what Jesus taught and what he told them, Okay? It says they went back and walked with him no more. Some folks, it's too tough. They don't have that concern. Jesus had told them that they had to have a relationship with him that was different than what the world offered as a place. When we think about walking in paths of service and walking with Jesus, we need to realize that he was a servant. He didn't come to this world to be served. Jesus asked the question, who's greater? He who sits at the table or he who serves? It's not he that sits at the table. Yet I'm among you as the one who serves. A lot of folks want to be like Jesus until it comes time to do the work, to be the servant. A lot of folks like the title even, I'm a disciple of Christ. They don't realize that they're a disciple of the one who came to serve. And we need to be the one that serves. He was the one... There it is. Matthew 20 and verse number 28. Okay, we'll go to Galatians 6, 2. We're to bear one another's burdens. That's one of the first responsibilities we have, is to help one another, to be a servant to one another. And that's fulfilling the law of Christ. That's being a disciple of Christ. We need to know and understand that we'll gladly be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I'm loved, Jesus said. You ever feel that way? The more you give to other people, the less they seem to appreciate it. Guess what? You're not the first one that happened to. And you won't be the last. Basically, what Jesus is saying here is get over it. That's what they did to me. If you're going to be my disciple, expect that. That doesn't mean you enjoy it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't frustrate you and in some ways can be very easy to be discouraging, but Jesus is the great example of being a servant. John the 17th chapter, 13th chapter, we find Jesus as he is taking a towel and washing the feet of his disciples. We need to see that that's the example that he wanted his apostles, his disciples, to follow after. But I've been talking a lot about servanthood, and it sounds awful. It sounds hard work. It sounds like something that is beating down upon you. But we need to realize, as the outline says, discipleship to Christ is an opportunity. It's a privilege. It's something we ought to long for the opportunity for. 2 Timothy 2:12, Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who enabled me, and he counted me the faithful, putting me into the ministry. That word ministry is diakonos, servant. He put me into servanthood. Paul said, I'm thanking God for that privilege. I am thrilled for that opportunity to be a servant. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, said he described himself as the least of all apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. But, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the Lord who labors in me, he says. We need to know and understand what a privilege it is. Paul did, because you see, he could look at his life and say, man, I was lost. I was a persecutor of the church. I wasn't just a bad person, I was a horrible person. I wasn't just somebody who didn't follow God. I was somebody who persecuted God's people. But God, through his grace, saved me. And he says, I am what I am. That means he's an apostle. He's a Christian. He is a disciple of Christ. He's a servant of his. And his grace to me, he says, it's not going to be in vain. I'm not going to waste the privilege that I have. I'm not going to waste the opportunity that I have. I'm going to labor more than anyone else does because I appreciate what I have so much. We need to know and understand how important it is to look at an opportunity. God's been merciful to every one of us. I know I can say without a doubt He's been merciful to me, to forgive me and to bless me with the blessings that He has in this life. And we need to be grateful for the privilege that we have. And we need to show the zeal and the enthusiasm and the diligence that comes from that. We all have worked with people that came in and punched a clock and put in the time. Had no enthusiasm, no zeal, no interest in getting the work done. They just wanted to be there and get the paycheck. We can't be like that. Because there'll be no paycheck. There won't be a heaven for people like that. We're to be servants of His. We need to know and realize that discipleship is a way of life. It's what we are to be. It's not something that we do a couple hours a week inside this building. This is preparation for discipleship. This is not discipleship in the sense that we're using it tonight, the sense that God uses it. We need to make that just our whole life, not one of our many activities. You know, we sometimes talk about how full our calendars are and how many activities I have. And I don't have time to fit them all in. Well, if you're a disciple of Christ, you put Him at the top, and then the second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth. And if you got time, you put other things in there. He is to be the life that you're to live if we're going to be His servant. When we come to know Him, that's when we walk with Him. John 17, and verse number 3, said, "This is eternal life, that you know Him, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom He sent." Do you know God? Well, if you know God, then you're His servant. You're living the life of discipleship. If you're not living the life of discipleship, you don't know Him. You may know about Him. You may know some things of Him. I was asked out at the fair if I knew Clyde Sayles. He's been there at the Genesee for 30 years now. And I said, well, I know Clyde, but I don't know him. I've talked to him. I preached there one time when I was working at Willowbrook, and I've seen him around the different, but I couldn't say I know Clyde. I would recognize him, I think, if I saw him on the street, but I don't know him. Do you know God? Then you're going to be His disciple. There's another song that we sometimes sing that goes right along with what we're talking about, and it talks about the fact that the glory of walking with the Master. And we need to know, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. You want glory shed on your way? Then you walk with the Lord. If you look at yourself and you say, well, you know, yeah, but I haven't been doing much of that. There's not a whole lot of walking with the Lord that I've been doing like I should. You need to repent. You need to change your life right now and decide you're going to be His disciple, because He's standing with open arms. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Do you want that rest? We stand ready right now to help in every way that we can. Please, won't you give us that opportunity?